This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. We're going to talk about local activism, youth sports. We're going to talk about a plan, a plan to take on the current system. What's wrong with the GOP? Are they screwing something up? All that, my thoughts on Islamist candidates in American cities, and so much more coming up on the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to get to this one. Jesse, I live in a mid-sized blood-red city in the socialist state of Washington. A few days ago, we took our two granddaughters to the library. They're ages 3 and 5. Prominently displayed front and center in the young kids section was a sign celebrating Pride Month. I calmly and politely removed it, took it to the front desk, telling them it wasn't appropriate. I'm planning to go back in a day or two, fully expecting the sign to be right back where it was found, where I found it. At that point, do I turn it up a notch? Continue with the polite approach? Okay. One thing you do not do is let it go. How loud you get is up to you, but volume doesn't always mean effective. Remember that. The communist uses those tactics, I realize that, and so it can be effective, but volume doesn't always mean effective. I'm not telling you not to get loud, maybe it's time, but no, you should not let it go. You should not let it go because we have to develop a spirit of offense and not defense. Offense and not defense. For the longest time, when we controlled the institutions of the country, when I say we, I'm talking decent, normal people who love the United States of America. We controlled the military. We controlled the Boy Scouts. It was in our control. We were on the defense. The defense. The communist, the savage animal that he is, he was busy trying to move from the streets into the corporate boardroom, into the local library, into the education system. But he was on the attack. We had control of it. We were in the city. We had the walls. He's trying to batter down the walls. And so he had to attack and attack and attack and attack and attack in order to gain entry into our city and gain control. Now, Donald Trump or no Donald Trump, House or no House, Senate or no Senate, he has taken the city in many places. He owns the city when it comes to the education system. Your public library, you don't control that anymore. He does. Can you politely take it back? You are the revolutionary now. You know that in some ways. Depending on where you are or what you're dealing with, you may very well be the revolutionary. You are going to be the one who has to go on the attack. No, don't let it go. Now, remember, stay within the law. Don't hurt anybody. Don't threaten to hurt anybody. That's not real effective offense. That doesn't work. Stay within the law, but don't let it go. Next time you go back, take it down again. Ask to talk to the manager. Maybe you do raise the sound of your voice. If they keep insisting on it, maybe you start organizing a protest of some kind. Maybe you organize, if you don't feel like making a bunch of stupid signs and doing the stupid chanting thing, oh no, we won't go, if you don't want to do that kind of lameness, maybe you simply organize a telephone campaign, an email campaign. I've done that before. Shoot, I did it on the air before with my area. These people are human beings. When they put up the little LGBTQ
thing,
why
are you gay?
They put it up because they had been pressured to put it up.
The head of the library or the librarian is probably a communist who infiltrated and wants to use their position to push all that rainbow filth onto kids. They will operate in any way they want to until they are stopped. Evil doesn't have a bottom. It keeps going down and down and down and down until good stops it. You must step in and stop it. Get loud. Organize it. Organize a Facebook campaign. These people all read that stuff. The president of the country, the vice president, they're all over social media reading your comments. Donald Trump may have read your words before, for all you know. One of the wildest things that ever happened to me was during COVID, when I was screaming and yelling about locking down the country, I got word from a source that I will not reveal. One of my tweets against lockdowns was on the Oval Office desk. Trump's reading it. You never know. You never know. But get loud and get organized. And let me tell you why else that's important. You said this is in a little red town. This stuff happens in red towns all the time. We've already talked about why. This kind of thing sends a message to the other communist cells in that town thinking about getting out of line. Just like America's corporate world got a big message from the Bud Light tranny stuff. The corporate world backed off after that. Hey, man, we don't want that kind of heat over here. That same kind of thing can happen in your community. You start treating these communists sternly. Develop a spirit of offense, of aggression, not defense anymore. When they've taken the city, now you're on offense. You go on offense and take away the power from these demons. Jesse, how have you helped your boys navigate youth sports? My daughter plays competitive softball on a team with high expectations for performance. She's had coaches that are too nice, coaches that are psycho, coaches that don't care, and everything in between. When her team wins, it's all sunshine and roses. When they lose, it can get pretty ugly. How do I help her navigate the good, the bad, and the ugly? Okay. I've had this exact talk with my boys because they've gone through the exact same thing, not just in their sports, in their various schools and various grades. You're going to have in sports and in school, you're going to have great coaches, mentors. You're going to have dirtballs, losers, lazy idiots, people who are just there to be mean, to yell at the kids. And I won't go into the details. In one of their situations, there was somebody who was over them who very clearly just kind of hated kids. And you didn't have to be around her long to figure out she was there because she enjoyed yelling at kids. I know, it's really ugly. You know what I told my boys? Deal with it. Not because I'm a jerk, but as I explained to them, guess what you're going to discover when you finally leave school and when sports are done and you go out into the real world? Guess what you're going to discover? That exact same thing. You are going to have bosses that are too nice, coworkers who are too mean. You're going to encounter lazy people, losers, psychos. It is not my job, unless they are abusing you in some way, and then I'll step in and cut somebody's head off. But it is not my job to step in and save you from big, meanie track coach who made you run too much because he thought you were loafing. It's your job to toughen up and deal with it. It's your job to learn how to deal with an imperfect world, because the world doesn't get more perfect when you leave sports. When you leave softball, when you leave high school, when you leave college, when you leave whatever, there's always going to be some new turd throwing new hurdles in front of you, making your life harder, screwing something up, and you have to learn how to deal with it. It's called life. Dad, I've got 8 teachers this year, and 4 of them are kind of cool. One of them's pretty lazy. The other one hates my guts, and she's always giving me detention. Too bad, so sad. Learn how to deal with it. What are you telling me for? That's your problem. Not because I don't care. I do care. Not because I don't want my kids to be happy. I want them to be happy. But you know one of the best keys to happiness and contentment in life? Learning how to weather ugly storms that other people create for you, because they're always going to be creating those storms. That's why I beat that into my sons. Not physically, but you understand what I mean. They know by now. You can come home. You can complain about the coach. You're welcome to. We could talk about it. I'm not going to shoot you down for that. perfectly fine. Don't expect me to step in. Don't expect me to give you some wonderful solution, because the solution is learn how to deal with people who suck. There's a lot of them out there. Jesse, every norm out there complains about the current system, but none of them have a plan to take its place. Doesn't matter which arena we're talking about. I offer a plan. They say it makes sense, but then they groan about how much work it's going to take and how long it's going to take, and then they go back to watching the game. Norm is useless in the fight for or the leading of the nation. He just wants to click accept on terms and conditions so he can play games on his phone. Doesn't matter if Norm is broke or wealthy. It's the same dude. All right. Let's talk about that. It's too much work. I don't like this, but it sounds like it's going to take too much work to change it. I just want to go back to living my life and... There's a couple things on this we need to talk about. Next.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before we get back to the other ones, the guy emailed in, and he's frustrated that Norm says it's too much work. I don't want to change anything. I don't like this, but I don't want to put in the work to change it. And so two things on this. One, it has always been the people who care are a small percentage of the population. I want everyone around us, especially those who share our values, to care like we care, to get involved like you get involved, like I get involved. That's what we want. We want that, but that's not realistic. Can we get some of them involved? Sure. And we should always be recruiting for more troops on our side. We should always be recruiting. But we should always go into it understanding that those of us who care are a minority, and we will always be a minority. That is a horrible, sad state of affairs. When I look at my fellow Americans, my friends, my neighbors who love this country, and they genuinely do, but then won't ever lift a finger for it, it drives me crazy. I'm going to grab them and shake them and say, wake up and help. We need your help. But that's life. That's one. And two, it takes too much work. It takes too much work. It's going to take too long. We've discussed this before, but let me tell you something about the communist, and one of the reasons the communist has been so successful in conquering American institutions who used to oppose him. They used to oppose him. Now he's conquered them. Do you know why? He loves the struggle. The communist doesn't just love victory. Everybody loves victory. The communist loves the struggle. Michael Jordan wasn't the greatest basketball player ever because he loved to play the basketball game. Everybody who plays basketball loves to play the games. Michael Jordan was the greatest basketball player ever because he loved practice. Hours and hours and hours by himself, he loved the work. He loved the grind. Those incredible football players you watch on Sunday, I've actually read books of these guys, and they virtually all say the same thing. Everybody loves the game. Everyone loves it on Sunday with the cheering crowds and the everything. Everybody loves that. Who loves the weight room? Who loves wind sprints? The communist loves political activism. It's not just the final victory, although obviously he always has his eyes on that. He loves taking it to the streets like an animal. He enjoys it. They enjoy every part of their activism. I'm going to play something for you. This is Terry Moran. That name may sound familiar. He was that ABC Air Fingers, quote, journalist who sat down with Trump in the Oval Office, and then Trump beat him up really bad and embarrassed him. And he got himself fired recently. He got fired because he put out some long, it was probably drunken, social media post saying all kinds of horrible things about Trump and Stephen Miller. Now, this is a man who just lost a multi-million dollar prestigious gig with ABC. And when you lose a gig like that in disgrace the way he did, he'll probably never equal that again. So he is facing a life never equaling the social status, the economic status that he just lost because of one late night drunken tweet. Now, I want you to listen to this guy. Listen.
My own feeling is you don't sacrifice your citizenship as a journalist, and your job is not to be objective.
Terry Moran loves the struggle. Terry Moran got this incredible gig as an ABC journalist, but he was intent on using it every single day, every chance he could, to fight for the revolution, because that's what he enjoys. All those Antifa people you see in the streets, the anti-ICE protesters out there now with masks on and things like that, have you ever heard any stories of these people's backgrounds? I was talking to Andy Ngo about this yesterday or the day before. I was talking to Andy Ngo. He's one of these on-the-street reporters. And Andy was talking about one of the guys, I think in the Portland area, who just got arrested. One of the Antifa types, a career loser, a complete dirtball, turd, broken family life, degenerate, drug abuse. All he ever found in life was this big group of fellow losers. And on a Saturday night, why don't we put on our masks and go try to hurt some people and vandalize some things? That wasn't a strain for him, like he's being deployed over to the Middle East. That's what he enjoyed. That was his true, true enjoyment. Gather up your masks, gather up your Molotov cocktails, and let's go burn something down. The communist loves the struggle. He's the football player who loved the weight room. We love the game. We love the presidential election. Don't we? Don't you love the presidential election? I do too. Get your Trump flag out and we're going to win the presidency. That's what we love. You know who loves that? Everybody. That's the game. That's the Super Bowl. Of course you enjoy it. Where are you when the city council's up for re-election? Your state rep. Your state senator. Do you know their names? Have you ever met them? You know they do local meetups all the time. All of them do. Have you ever met them? You can go meet them. Tell them your concerns. Just saying. Do we love the weight room? All right. Let's move on. Someone wants to know about these Islamist candidates in American cities like New York and Minnesota. And someone wants to talk about getting into HVAC. Some guy texted a girl and she didn't text him back. So let's discuss testosterone here really quickly, because it can be a very difficult world no matter what. Without testosterone, it's pretty much impossible. And we American men have lost 50% of our testosterone in the last 50 years. There are synthetic estrogens, natural estrogens. It's in the plastics. It's in the water. We shower in it. It is not your fault that you are low energy now, that your mind is foggy. It's in the friggin' water. We have to reverse it naturally, though. Naturally. And that's where Chalk comes in. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk. For the men, they have a male vitality stack. You want your T levels up 20% in 90 days. Just that alone, you're gonna feel so good. Try taking one for 3 years like I have. Oh my gosh, you're going to feel like $1 million. Better mood, better energy. Call them or text them. They have a huge summer savings discount right now. 50CHOQ3000. That's 50CHOQ3000. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Friday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Also, remember that I'm pretty sure the Democrats are all theater kids.
Hey, Trump. Where you going with that gun in your hand? I'm going down the street to shoot down democracy. You know I want to be a king someday. I'm going down and shoot democracy down. You know I want to be the king someday.
You just have to set aside every ounce of shame in your body to be an elected Democrat. You just do. It's something. Dear Jesse, the subject of this one is Muslim mayors in U.S. cities. I'd like to know your thoughts on the election of Islamist candidates in American cities. I am concerned that America will experience a takeover just like that of the UK if we elect these care-back candidates like Zohran Mamdani in New York. Well, here's the thing about America and being a free country. Being a free country. We are a country where we do have a lot of freedom. You have the freedom in this country, at least for now, to criticize your government. You have the freedom, as long as you're not hurting people, breaking the law, to protest things. You have a lot of freedoms. I have a lot of freedoms. And that's good. That's how we want to live. But freedoms also come with, there's a negative to it. And the negative is, it is much, much, much easier to infiltrate and attack a free country than it is a country that is controlled, that is tyrannical. The Soviets talked about it all the time. You and I have discussed this many times before. During the Cold War, they just marveled. The Soviets just marveled that anybody, anyone could drive up to an American military base and not go in, but could just sit there and take pictures. You could just drive around the whole outside and just take pictures of it. They thought stuff like that was bonkers. You try doing that in the Soviet Union, they'll just come out, shoot you in the face and throw you right in the ditch. But that we would allow things like that. Look at all the street animals in the country. How they're always in the streets looting and burning and looting and burning and looting and burning. They take advantage of America's freedoms. And of course, they take advantage of Democrat-run places. Being a free country is wonderful, but you can only maintain a great free country with a hyper-vigilant voting population. Unless the voting population is hyper-vigilant, your free country will eventually be infected and infested by outside forces, and they will tear it apart from the inside. I mean, freaking Plato was talking about late-stage democracies. Why are late-stage democracies, late-stage free countries, why do they always go the same way? Why do they collapse on themselves? Why does this happen? Because they're ripe for infiltration from bad people, from evil people. Go have a protest in North Korea. Tell me how that works. Now, I don't want to be North Korea. That's not a celebration of North Korea. But it shows the difference in the two. If you are, well, you mentioned Islamist. If you are one of these Islamist candidates, you know, radical jihad, kill all the infidels, one of those types. I'm not talking about a normal Muslim, a radical just jihadist candidate. And you want to do, let's say you want to infiltrate a major American city and you want to bring your values there. And you want to snuff out any values that oppose it. Well, if you get enough money behind your campaign, you might get elected. You might be able to achieve that. Now, go try that in North Korea. You're an Islamist. You want to put Sharia law into place. And you want to crowd out everything else. What will happen to you? You'll die. You'll probably starve to death if they don't just shoot you right away. I don't want to be a tyrannical country, but to maintain a free country takes the vigilance of the population. You cannot laissez-faire your way into more freedom. The more laid back, hands off, I don't want to get involved, sorry, I'm too busy, use sports, the game's on. The more you want to wash your hands of it, the more evil people will infiltrate it and take it over. And so you're worried about things like the UK, where they have the rise of all these Islamist candidates. We see this in places like Minnesota, where there's a Muslim call for prayer. You see this in places around the country. But what I've said many times before, like when people criticize Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar is there to be a what? What is she? a representative. Does Ilhan Omar represent her district? I say she does. Now, that's not a problem of Ilhan Omar. People are all, you know, kick her out of Congress, deport her. Why? Ilhan Omar is a perfect representative of her district. The problem, the root of the problem, is deeper than Ilhan Omar. Look, I just played it and we laughed at him. But remember from way back in the day, this is something you've heard a million times. You've heard it on this show before. Hank Johnson, this is a member of Congress.
This is a island that at its widest level is, what, 12 miles from shore to shore? And at its smallest level, location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
That's Hank Johnson. Do you know when that was? Maybe, and this is saying something, the most embarrassing piece of audio ever in the House of Representatives. Do you know when that was, the exact date? April 1st, 2010, Chris just looked it up. So Congress, the House of Representatives, has an election every 2 years, remember. He stood for election that year in 2010. That means after that, 7 times Hank Johnson has had to stand for re-election, and 7 times the people of his district who heard that went to the polls and voted for him again. We love to live in a representative republic, a constitutional republic, however we want to describe it. We love to live in that. We love the idea of it. But it gets uncomfortable when we look at a bunch of freaks in the House of Representatives and we realize that is an accurate representation of what we are now. If you don't want cities in your country taken over by Islamist candidates, maybe the mass importation of people from Islamic countries would be a bad idea. Once you do that, certain things become inevitable, don't they? Again, we lack the hypervigilant population, therefore we're ripe for takeover. Your dog is ready, by the way. Not for the Islamist takeover. Your dog's ready for rough greens. Your dog is ready to feel good again. How would you feel? How would your body feel if you ate fast food every single meal? You know why your dog's joints hurt? Why his coat's dull? Why his breath smells like a landfill? Because your dog gets garbage from his food. There's nothing in dog food. It's empty calories. It's dead. That's why it's brown. Dead things are brown. What color do the leaves turn in the fall? Dead things are brown. Start sprinkling rough greens on your dog's food. A supplement with the nutrition your dog needs to live longer and live better, to be honest with you. Vitamins and minerals and probiotics and omega oils, antioxidants, better energy, or if you have a hyperactive dog, it can help shave that down. You want to try it? See what your dog thinks? Free Jumpstart trial bags available. 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, fantastic Friday, final segment on a Friday. But don't worry, we will be back on Monday to deal with all the bombs and bullets and everything else that I'm sure is currently raining down over there in the Middle East. And we'll deal with all the things that come what may, you, me, We'll be here Monday. We'll discuss it all, okay? Remember, if you miss me over the weekend, you can email me, love, hate, death threats, whatever, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Let's do a few more of these emails real quick. Jesse, I need advice. Last night, I texted a girl that I met at a barn dance a month ago, and she hasn't answered yet. I'm a single 20-year-old man, and this would be my first date. I only met her once. She lives about 2 hours away, which complicate things. I also didn't ask for her number. I got it from my sister. Did I creep her out? Please advise. Okay. One, when you are young and a young lady or a young man catches your eye, and you, in my day, it was calling and leaving a message, but or you send a text. It's not like I don't text. I'm not that old. Every second that goes by until you get a reply, you imagine the worst. I said the wrong thing. She's making fun of me. She thinks I'm an idiot. I creeped her out. Okay, so one, stop freaking yourself out. Let me give this to you straight. And gentlemen, this is for every single one of you. Ladies, not so much for you because you got to handle things a little differently. Gentlemen, you ever heard the phrase, fortune favors the bold? Women don't get asked out. They traditionally, the more beautiful woman, the less guys will even approach her because men get intimidated. They think she's already dating the star football player or something like that, and so they don't get asked out. You have any idea how many friends of mine in my life, and frankly, myself included, back in my dating age, that scored way above what we should have scored because I would simply ask anybody. That I don't care. You laugh at me, that's your problem. Quit being mean. I'm leaving. Whatever. If she caught your eye, you saw some lovely country girl at a barn dance, and you texted her yesterday, and now she gave you the cold shoulder and didn't respond, only you really, really want to take this girl to Red Lobster. You want to take her to someplace nice. I'd give it another 24 hours, and I'd make one more phone call. And I wouldn't text this time. I would call, and I would just tell her, hey, it's whatever your name happens to be. Hey, it's Bill. We were at the barn dance. Man, I thought you were smoking hot. I want to take you out to dinner, see if maybe we could hit it off. Let me know if you want. If not, it's all good. Have a good one. Give her one more shot. Take a chance and approach a woman. Ask her out. I know it's intimidating. I know your heart's pitter-pattering because she's so hot and she's going to say no. Maybe she will say no. Who cares? They never get asked out. You have a chance to find that dime of your dreams if you find your guts first. Walk across the room at the barn dance, the church, the bar, the wherever you happen to be, and freaking ask her out on a date. All right? Take her to Waffle House. See what she's made of. And I'm not even kidding about that. Take her to Waffle House. Maybe she'll turn her nose up. Maybe she won't. What if she toughs it out? What if she's grossed out, but she toughs it out? That's a good woman right there. Ask her about preborn. Ask her what she thinks. What, Chris? I think this is important. Ask her what she thinks about giving pregnant women free ultrasounds. Maybe you could even drop this line on her. Hey, you haven't gotten a hold of preborn yet, have you? Anyway, preborn offers free ultrasounds to women who are about to abort their babies. There's a lot of them, sadly. Preborn only can do this when you help them do this. They have these pro-life clinics set up in the highest abortion areas of the country, and they're out there every single day saving lives. Over 200 lives a day Preborn saves, snatches from the jaws of death because you helped them. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. Call that freaking dime again. You saw her at a barn dance. Call that dime. You want to date that woman with the cute little jean shorts and the cowboy boots? I love when Ob sports that look. Go give her a call. Jesse, I had heart surgery. You helped me through, and then I lost my job last November. As a result, I consulted both you and my father. Between both of your suggestions, I decided to get into the trades. I started going to night school for HVAC. I am now 8 months in with my own company van, making more money than I ever have before, and summer's only getting started. I have my dad and America's dad to thank for setting me on this path. Blessings to you and your family. Also, I got to leave a couple commies sweating with no AC because parts are on back order. It felt great. One, I'm freaking proud of you, brother. Good for you. Decided to make a change, take a risk. And this is a reminder to the men and ladies, there are some of these jobs available for you out there. Don't think everything is carrying around heavy stuff and stuff like that, ladies. Don't be afraid to look into this. There is a gigantic pile of money waiting for people who go into the trades, because the people who are currently in the trades are old and retiring, and there's nobody to fill these positions. You laugh at the local plumber, he makes more money than you do. The guy who's installing ACs, wow, he must be hot and sweaty. He sure is, in his Mercedes-Benz, swimming in his pool, taking his wife to Cancun. He's very, very sweaty. You can make it without a bunch of student loan debt. My wife was just telling me last night, one of the plants here in the Houston area, I forget which one and I can't give it out on the air anyway, one of the plants here in the Houston area, they actually hire from one of the local, just one of the local small colleges, local small trade schools, and there are guys in a year making $200K annually. Are you going to sweat? Yep. Good for you, by the way. You'll live a lot longer than sitting behind that desk. I don't know. How about $200,000 a year? Does that sound like something you can maybe live on? You're buying a house when you're 25 at that pace. Two cars. Maybe a swimming pool. Cancun once a year. There's a huge pile of money in the trades waiting for you. And it's only going to get bigger. Remember, that pile of money is getting bigger as the workforce of the trades is getting older and retiring. The young man, I'm just saying, look into it. Maybe HVAC doesn't interest you, or electrical, or plumbing, or whatever. There's a bunch of different trade jobs. Maybe you have no interest at all, and I get that. But man, maybe you've already got a career and you're looking for a change. Maybe you're 17, 18, you're trying to figure out, I don't like this degree, I don't want that. Maybe an internship? Tell you what my son's doing next summer. Going to be 17 years old. He's going to be out there interning for one of these things I'm making him. And he's going to figure out whether that might be for him or not. Because I don't want to send my boy off to Communist University and have him be miserable and hate himself. All right? Just think about it. Now go into your weekend. We'll all be on social media as the bombs fall from the sky. Cross your fingers, say a prayer, enjoy your family. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.